Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the author of Billionaire at the Barricades, Laura Ingraham, and from Podcast One's The Chad Prather Show, Chad Prather. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, and now, his meeting with Stallone went so well that they started writing the script for Tango and Cash and Ace.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We rely on you for that. So thank you for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
No.
Yes. Spacey checking out his junk in the beer line, man. And that's when he knew he was gay. All right.
So you're coming off a big high, huh?
Yeah, I was at the LA Convention Center last night doing a thing with Stallone, and Mike was out in the audience. 16,000 people.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all. And Mike took the vid of it, and then he did that thing which happened to me a few years ago with Lynette, as I kept saying, go landscape, and it took a while. Multiple arguments, but eventually I got her to go landscape. But in the interim, there was the holding it up and then going landscape, and the thing tipped over.
The changing it midstream without stopping and starting doesn't have
a that's a real
hold on a second though. Are we living in the the crazy technological future, or is everything just sort of still stupid? Like, I feel like the phone, when you hold the phone, you're like reading or looking at a picture or reading some emails, and then you turn it landscape style. It just turns around for you,
Yeah.
This happens all day, every day, times a kajillion things, where people start filming one way, and then they turn it the other way, and they don't stop it and reboot it.
Yeah.
It doesn't know that? Like, it can't...
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't think of a reason why someone would change that. And it wouldn't want to reorient.
Yeah, why? Because it when you're looking at it, it reorients.
Yeah.
It's so
yeah,
you
if you're
are,
looking at a photo. Yeah.
No, not at a photo. Or if you're anything. Looking at what you're filming.
Oh, I see.
It reorients, right? Gary?
Yes, but once you start a video...
No, I understood, way, but yeah. I mean, look, yeah, so I'd right. like to
There's
yell how dumb Mike
there.
Is, but it's kind of a weird thing. You start it this
just
way...
looking through the lens.
Right, yeah. And so you're assuming what you're seeing is how it's filming, but it's doing it vertically. But we turned it over. We'll show you guys. Go to AdamCarolla.com and take a look.
I'm sorry.
Pump it up.
Are there multiple pyrotechnics?
Dude, we're looking at a Metallica situation.
Oh, my God. Kiss Destroyer tour.
Now Mike's focusing.
On the woman's head in front of him.
Yeah, all right. So Stallone and I are out on stage for about 40 minutes, and he's great. Now, a couple things, few cool things.
Is August
cool
drunk? Things.
Yeah, I wish he was. Few cool things about Stallone, as Mike brought up after we were on stage, but it's true. He's a writer at heart.
Yeah.
All he talks about is writing. His entire thing was about writing Rocky, about writing every day. About when you talk to Stallone, he doesn't talk. Well, he talks to me about boxing, but he doesn't talk about acting or being the action hero or any of that. Everything he talks about comes through the filter of writer, which is just a bizarre. It's something you wouldn't think about. Also,
yeah, nominated for best screenplay for Rocky.
I can't give away. Yeah, we everyone knows. Oh, he famously he wrote the film, and then they wanted somebody else to be in the lead, but he wanted to do it, and blah blah blah, and the rest is history. But you just don't think of him in writing,
right?
That's all he thinks about is writing, and then he'll act in it or not act in it. Of course, there's a follow-up to Creed.
Okay.
And we were backstage, and he was bouncing ideas off me.
He was pitching. God. He was spitballing.
He was pitching, yeah. And he was, and it's too big a...
Funny you should ask, Sly. I have a boxing movie.
Oh, there it is.
Too big a... It'd be too much to tell you what I was told. Like, it'd be too much of a spoiler alert. But we were going through pictures on his phone, okay. And he was showing me boxers and guys, and it's okay. It's kind of an interesting thing.
Storylines, plot lines, and things like that.
We were talking about that, the story, how it worked. If you think about the first one, and now you think about the follow-up.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting, smart stuff, but also literally just looking at guys going, this guy's too tall, but he looks great, but how's he going to look against
Michael B. Jordan.
Sounds like my Tinder profile.
But it was kind of, it was fun. The kids had a great time. The kids went back and took a picture. And then we went out on stage and tore it up. This good storyteller, very motivated guy.
How long did it go? The talk.
Well, now you can appreciate. All right. If anyone wants to know my life, if anyone would like to know my life, here's my life. Here's everything you know about my life. Here's how it works. So Bill Zanker gets hold of me. Also, people listening, you have no idea how little everything is planned out. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know. You know. Okay. First things first. Submit 5 questions to ask Sylvester Stallone on stage. I'm never interested in that, but okay, they want them in advance. Okay, but they don't want them. He doesn't want them. Right. Somebody wants them. Somebody who's going to be accused of not doing their job wants them. So submit the questions. So I do what I do whenever someone says submit questions. I just go, finally, write 10 questions and then show me. And the first 5 suck, and 6 through 10 is good. And I go,
6 through 10 are about Cobra.
Yeah, just go give them that one. Give them that one. Then they give them that one. And then
question number 9, also in Cobra.
Yeah. Then they
last one.
Then they approve the 5, and then at some point Matt prints it out and he hands it to me, and then I'm reading it when I'm standing, you know, somewhere yesterday, and I'm like, God, this doesn't seem like the ones we submitted. And it's like, oh yeah, they did their own. So now we've already wasted this part of our lives. And then I got the paper and I'm like, okay, so they submitted these and we submitted them, and then they tweaked them, and then they sent them back. Like, how close to the script are we sticking to, and what does he care about?
Mr. Stallone, why do you think you're so great?
Well, I mean, if you find, tell Matt to find the questions, because if you find the questions, like the first question is pretty wordy and pretty whatever, and also I don't want to stand up there and read the question in front of 16,000 people and smoke pods and pyrotechnics and everything. So I just see him backstage, or he has a green room set up, and I just said, like, what do you want to do? And he does the ask me anything, which is celebrities are always the person that says ask me anything, but it's their people that need to know in advance. Stick to the script, or at least have a script. Mm. So he just sort of said, yeah, whatever you want. And I said, fine. And so we just started talking. And
from Asinio, you flipped the script.
I never even brought the piece of paper out there with me. And so here's my life. If anyone wants to know my life, here is my life. Bill Zanker, the most excitable man in the world, is pumped because there's 16,000 people out there, and Stallone's going to go up on stage, and they're going to go nuts. You read the first question, Gary, and tell me if you could picture standing on stage in front of 16,000 people and reading that question.
Today, you are a global icon, but it didn't all start like that. Can you take us back to some of the beginning days? What was your life like back then, and what motivated you to become what you are today?
Right.
There's okay. something about that that doesn't seem very English as a first language.
The hard-hitting stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So I talked to Zanker.
Really tighten the screws.
I talked to Zanker, and Zanker goes, and here's my life, and here's all you need to know. I go, how much time do you want us to be up on stage for? And he goes, well, we got him booked for, his eyes start bugging out, you know, he's booked for half an hour, but you go as long as you want, man. You go as long as you can go. Just have, keep going. Keep going. But
someone tells Adam Carolla to go long. Yeah. He starts salivating.
I'm like, okay, but we got a half hour. We got a half hour, right? Yeah, he's booked to do a half hour, but you keep, there's 16,000 people out there. They're going crazy. They'll take whatever we can get them. Everything we, every second over a half hour, man, that's gravy time for us. You go as long as you want to go. And I go, okay. And then 2 minutes later, the stage manager walks in and he goes, okay, we're going to start whatever. And he goes, keep it to a half hour. Keep it tight.
You got a hard 30.
We got a hard 30. And I go, I was told we're going as long as we can go. Oh, no. We got to turn this place over. And we got to keep it to a tight 30. And I said, yeah, but Zanker said, yeah, I know. He's Zanker. He's a promoter. I run this place.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, 30 minutes. So we keep it to a tight 30. We'll have a countdown clock for you out there. You'll look down. Literally, I have teleprompters going to wrap it up for 30 seconds. And I go, okay, so tight 30. Yeah, tight 30. Okay, that guy leaves. Bill Zanker back into the room. Bill, I talked to stage manager. He said tight 30. So he didn't want to go over it. I don't want Bill Zanker when I wrap it up right at 30 going, what the hell? They could have gone for another 20 minutes. You know, what the hell? I said, I just talked to stage manager. He said they got to turn this whole place around. And he said tight 30. Zanker replies, this is my event.
Yeah, that's he's.
We'll do what I want. Mm-hmm. And you go as long as you want to go. So I go, okay. So now we're on stage. And of course,
Zanker's giving me a thumbs up. You're standing next to him.
As we're counting down, as the clock counts down and it gets to like 41 seconds, I do like one last question to him about, you know, motivation and what this daily routine is or whatever it is. And he does it, and then all the teleprompters are reading rap, rap, rap. The teleprompters don't say anything other than instructions. Like wrap it up. It all says wrap it up, and then Sly goes to 16,000 people and no microphone in the crowd. Who's got a question?
Wow.
Amazing.
The real man of the people.
In which case, a guy just starts shouting out something incoherently that we can't hear from upstage. And it's like, we were just leaving. We're just walking upstage.
Did you really climb that mountain?
I think we established who's in charge.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that to me instantly was the difference between the promoter and the stage manager. Yeah. You know, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To the stage manager, keep the clock, you know, keep everything on time. Keep all the trains running on time.
Yeah.
It's his job.
So what happened? So you tried to suss out some audience?
We answered a couple of questions. Sly did a sort of funny routine about his schedule, getting what time he gets up, what time he heads into the, you know, down to the kitchen, heads, you know, starts, sits down to write. But it's interesting. Same story, you know, super poor, you know, just going out. No one wanted to hire him to act. And he ended up thinking, I need to write, not act. And, you know, and it's true. Like, he had like a little bit of a speech impediment. It was like, had a sort of a weird, sort of interesting look, but not traditional, not for back then.
All those guys, so many guys that ended up becoming huge breakout stars, Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, those types of guys, had like the one. It's almost like the flaw they say in the perfume. Like, there's one ingredient that smells terrible, but it's that one ingredient amongst all the others makes you want to come back for it. It's like that one flaw that, you know, would not get you hired, quote unquote, makes you a special performer, an A-list, you know, a memorable star, the Schwarzenegger, you know, accent and the Stallone's impediment or whatever it is.
Was there any hot Frank Stallone talk?
No, although we do both.
Do not ask.
We do know he does enjoy Frank. He does. And no, his the kids and the old lady are on the East Coast. Told him perfect time to watch the hammer. slipped him the hammer. So we'll see if he watches that, as well as the 24-hour war and winning.
What was his reception? What was it? What was his reaction to being handed the hammer? Must have been
punches.
Well, it was good. He does a lot of punching and stuff. He was I slipped the hammer, and I said, you know, and I get it. People hand you stuff, and it seems like backyard junk. People are making backyard videos and stuff. But I said, you know, here's the Rotten Tomato scores. And he looked down, and he went, a lot higher than mine. So I said, okay.
Crumple up, throw away.
Wiped his ass with it, threw it back at me. So we shall see. I will keep you posted. Really, the bottom line with these people are, the gatekeepers are the publicists. the celebs just kind of go through life with stuff heading, dodging stuff or avoiding stuff or having stuff piling up. The publicist, so I said, I think he's going to enjoy this movie. It's in this bag. Can you make sure it gets home with him and whatever? And she said, I'll take care of it. And she seemed pretty sincere. So we'll see. Because that's the person who is going to make sure. If that person is not on your side, that person is basically working the guard shack of this person's life.
Yep.
And it'll never hit that switch that opens the gate for you if that person doesn't like you. No matter how much the person inside the mansion would like to see you or hear what you have to say, you'll never get through that guard shack. All right.
Did Sonny Carolla get to meet Sly Stallone?
Yeah, Sonny was back there, and so was Natalia. I don't know who took pictures. Ask Sonny or ask Lynette to send them to you, or ask Sonny or Natalia. I think they took them.
What was Sonny's takeaway?
They were pretty pumped up about it. Although, you know how people are. They always kind of reel it in a little when they see the person in person and all that stuff. I'll tell you, so we got a Bollywood to do. We got your story with Courtney Love, and we have Laura Ingraham is on the phone. Billionaire at the Barricades is the name of the new book. And, of course, the Ingraham angle. Weeknights, 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox. How you doing, Laura?
Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
It's good. My sister's name is Lauren, so if I go, hey, Laura, hey, Adam, it always has this weird sort of Pavlovian bell ringing for me.
You want to run?
I want to run away. Congratulations on the Fox gig.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of fun. We're certainly no dearth of information out there, so we're trying to mix it up and give the audience something to think about, and we hope even in the dark time, something to maybe be a little inspired by. And if you can laugh every now and then, that would help.
What is your schedule, considering you're doing a syndicated radio show and then an hour-long nightly show on Fox and all that entails?
Still working on that, Adam. So the show is 9 to noon Eastern, and then the TV show is 10 p.m. Eastern. And then in between, I have three kids that I go pick them up at school and try to trying to make sure they're not failing out and, you know, do all that jazz. And then, you know, I have someone that helps me at night here at the house. And then, you know, I go off and do that. So it's a lot.
Do you get out of Fox? I mean, if you guys are wrapping at 11, you're getting out when you're done and then you do your pre.
11:01.
Right.
Yeah, 11:01.
Yeah.
I'm home by 11:24. But it's hard to go to sleep right afterwards.
I completely concur. I work on a show called Loveline that went 10 a.m., 10 p.m. to midnight every time. And there were many times I'd have to fly out to the East Coast on a 7:05 flight and a car pick you up at 5:15. And people go, well, go to bed as soon as you get home. You got to go to bed as soon as you get home. And it's like, I can't. It's just getting back. And I'd always say to them, what time do you get home from work? They go, about 6:30. I go, could you go to bed? And they go, oh, no way. I go, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a nighttime show, but I'm really a morning person, so it's quite a rearrangement of the body clock.
Yeah, are you single? Are you married? I don't know what your status is.
My status is single. I'm single.
Is dating tough because of who you are, or is it easier, or how does dating work?
Well, I think people who are people who focus on things that are unimportant, like what you know, status or you're well known, or tend to not be people I would be very interested in anyway. So it doesn't really have all that much of it. It's just more of a weeding out effect, Adam. It weeds people out pretty quickly. So
I don't know. Like
I'm pretty busy.
I gotta say, there's this kind of a cliche. And there's like two cliches that don't really hold true for males where they go like, oh, men are really intimidated when a woman makes a good living and is opinionated and so on, has a personality. It's like, I'm not that way at all. Mm-hmm. Brian over here, his wife makes a better living than him, has many more valid opinions than he.
Easy. She's all right.
And is quite a dynamic woman.
Bitch knows her place.
And I think Brian likes that.
It's sexy. Absolutely.
I agree. Gina's that way, and it's sexy. Most guys with two brain cells to rub together, the opposite is what? Makes no money and has zero thoughts about anything?
I think there's dim guys who want a woman to sort of dominate.
Want a blow-up doll.
Yeah, socially, like to sort of lord over their, you know, status.
Well, I got to tell
you, I think what happens though, guys, is that, and what do I know? I'm not married. You guys are the experts in this. But I tend to see with my friends who have great marriages, the ones who are happy, and you know, I've known for a long, long time. No one can be everything to you. Like one person can't be everything. But as long as the person can, you know, can relate to what you're going through at work, or you really want to go home and tell them about it, and you, oh my God, what do you think about this? Do you have any advice for how I should deal with that? I think to me that's very attractive. For a guy, I like a guy who, and I already told Adam this once, and he came on my radio show. He's like, Adam, I need a guy who can like fix stuff. Okay, a guy who can fix stuff, who's funny, and who just like wants to say, you know something, drop everything because I got the kids taken care of. And we're going hiking for 3 days. Like, someone who's
just about to say that.
Yeah, I can fix stuff.
Find that person.
I can't fix my many foibles, but when it comes to anything to do with the house, I can fix it.
Thank you.
I suggest you go full like Ann Coulter and start dating like Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Or something like that with her
J.J. Walker.
So tell us about Billionaire at the Barricades, the populist revolution from Reagan to Trump.
You know, what you're seeing with the Bushes kind of lashing out at Trump and giving these interviews, or Trump's this, or Trump's that, and, well, I voted for Hillary. None of this should surprise anyone. I mean, in my book, I point out how over the last, really, 25 years, the Republican Party, as led by the Bushes and by the Chamber of Commerce and all these, you know, big, you know, organizations that have enormous amount of clout and money, how they really drifted away from the grassroots of the party, and they kept pushing policies that were really unpopular. I mean, the policy of kind of mass amnesty without enforcement, without immediate enforcement, never really worked. You know, the idea of trade deals that are woefully one-sided, that end up outsourcing so much of our manufacturing, that wasn't popular. You know, the idea of these endless wars where we're committing thousands of troops, losing thousands of troops, for what? For what in the end? What did we really get out of Iraq? I mean, the whole Middle East is in a complete disaster. So all of that wasn't popular, and Trump tapped into all of that, but it's really a populist response to an establishment that is at war with its own base. So Trump was a symptom of the party completely losing touch with the people.
Can it go any other way? I mean, I have these thoughts about, you know, when a little ma and pa, little pizza joint eventually just gets franchised all over the country, and that little corner pizza place that you love so much now all of a sudden it's just gone the Papa John's route or Pizza Hut. Like, isn't it almost impossible to have two, Democrat, Republican? There's two choices. You can go one or you can go the other, but they're both so big and so bloated and so laden with special interest groups and lobbies and unions and this and that. And they both have their different version of it, but they're both going to be the same thing. I love cars. You can be Ferrari and put out little boutique, beautiful machines that are works of art, but it's really hard when you're GM. Yeah. You know, you can kind of, because then you do this thing where it's like, well, it's got to appeal to the man and the woman, and it's got to hold six, and it's got to get good mileage, and it's got to be sporty, and it's like everything to all people, nothing, and maybe Trump blew that up a little bit, and then what about the future? Not Trump, but I just mean, have we blown up the system a little bit?
No, well, I think it needed to be disrupted. You're right about that. And I think the reason the Bushes are lashing out is they're done. I mean, the two-term governor of Florida could not win his home state in a Republican primary. Now, what does that tell you about the legacy of the Bushes within the party? Now all these Democrats who call George Bush a warmonger, stupid, dumb, remember all that, misunderestimate him, like all that. Now they're like, oh, George Bush is quite insightful in his views on Trump. But George Bush is really, you know, it's always the next Republican president that's the worst. So the left is revealing itself for, you know, obvious just complete bias against any current Republican president. And the Bushes and the whole Bush complex, which spent $150 million for ignominious defeat, they're being revealed for who they are. And meanwhile, Trump is actually, I think Trump is actually, all things considered, I think he's done a lot. I mean, without Obamacare repeal, they've still done an enormous amount to get this economy going, and will do more. It's not everything that I want, that's for sure, but so far so good, despite having a Congress that drags its feet. So, they can say all they want, but look at the economy under Bush, and look at the economy for the first 10 months under Trump.
Yeah, so
it will get better.
So, you know, we spend so much time trying to divide everybody.
Yeah.
But is there a real difference between, like, Bush's and Clinton's? And now they would tell you there are massive chasm between them, but it's just more business as usual, right?
No, it's that's what, and Trump talked about that in the campaign. I was joking, and I wrote this in Billionaire the Barricades. I joked that Hillary and Jeb should have run on the same ticket. They should have called it Klush 2016, What Difference Does It Make, on the bumper sticker, because they're much closer together on key issues, from Common Core to military intervention to immigration to trade. They're all on the same page. Trump comes along and says, you know something, I'm calling BS on all of you. Your policies have driven China up into the stratosphere, driven us down into the ground. The people feel like they've lost the American dream. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to try to bring the dream back for the actual citizens of this country, because they've been shafted, and I'm going to try to do it a different way. Now, if Trump fails, they'll kick him out, and they'll try to get someone in who's better. But everyone should know, who's listening right now, the Bushes and the Clintons are basically on the same side on most key, maybe a few issues around the periphery. They're in disagreement, but on the critical issues that divide the country today, Bush has a lot more in common with Hillary than he does with the Trump voters.
Laura Ingraham, I have two analogies. One is, you find this pretty quickly when you get into the court system. I haven't gone through a divorce yet, but I can tell you this. The day is young. You quickly find out that your divorce attorney and her divorce attorney, who you think are mortal enemies, end up at the same country club playing golf on your money.
That's right.
Every Sunday. And same when you get sued by a patent troll, and you think you have a judge over there in whatever district in Texas, and you think he's going to be this advocate for fairness. And
he's
a judge. He worked at the same law firm as the attorney, or is going to retire and end up at that law firm. They all end up at the same country club. You think, oh, it's your attorney versus her. Oh, no, it's them against you guys. They're both getting rich. I mean, don't talk about those billable hours and those divorce proceedings. They run the entire bank account down to zero, and then they settle. Yes.
Adam, you know those billable hours? When I was a white-collar criminal defense attorney, I used to bill in six-minute increments. Can you imagine how ridiculous that is?
Yeah. Almost worse than parking at the airport.
Yeah.
Almost as bad as parking at the airport. Well, one last one for you. So that's the thing. So you think, oh, man, I'm a crazy Hillary Clinton fan, or a crazy Bush fan, and I hate Hillary, or vice versa, or whatever. It turns out they're all just the same attorneys ending up at the same country club, and they're spending your money. Number one. Number two, I sort of now look at all this, because I remember, like, when I was younger, it'd be like, well, there's Bush and there's Bush and there's Clinton, and that they're politicians and they run the show and that's just what they do. And there's really nothing you can do about it. That's just how it works. You're you. They're them. Their dad was a president. Now the son's a president, and then maybe the wife's going to be the president. That's just how it works. It used to be that way. Scientology was like, don't you say a word about, they will ruin your life. You just pay your dues.
How do you like your credit score?
This is the way. They would just go, here's the way Scientology works. Don't say a word. And at some point, people start speaking up. And now Leah Remini's tearing them a new asshole every time someone puts a microphone in front of her. And there's nothing they can do. Like, whatever power the Bushes thought they had, they don't have it. Like, they were Scientology, but they're not.
The House of Cards.
Yeah.
They had their own blacklist.
I don't support that show.
Anyone who challenged them, they had a blacklist. And I was on it, and I was proud to be on it. And
on the blacklist.
This is coming from me, who, you know, used a mountain bike with George W. Bush. And I like him a lot as a person. I guess I still do. But when you disagree with them, this is like a cartel. I mean, you disagree with them, and you're a Republican, you were basically implicitly threatened with never working again.
Did you?
That's That's where it was.
First on the blacklist, black people. Then Laura Ingraham. Did you...
All black people.
They didn't have to write black, they just write people. And the paper was
it's black.
It's a blacklist.
It's a blacklist.
How did you find out, when did you find out you're on that list?
There was a... You remember when you probably might not remember, but the Pope Benedict actually made a trip to Washington, D.C. I think it was his only trip to Washington, D.C. during the last, I think, a year and a half of the Bush administration, if my memory serves me correct. It's in the book, actually. I write about this in the book. And pretty much everyone and their dog, who was Catholic and just religious, were invited to come to the White House. They had like a welcoming, you know, like 30,000 people welcoming to the lawn when the helicopter landed, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm probably one of the more well-known Catholics in the American media and certainly in the news media. And I found out only later on, I was like, gosh, I really would have liked to have gone to see Pope Benedict, even from a distance. That would have been nice. I found out that my name was removed from consideration. And I said, well, why was that? And I received, well, we're not really allowed to talk about that. And this was after Harriet Myers. I remember when Bush nominated his pal to be on the Supreme Court. I was one of three people who helped defeat that nomination, and was obviously one of the people who was pushing for a wall back then, or fence, and pushing for a killing off that immigration amnesty, which Bush was pushing with John McCain and Ted Kennedy.
Right.
So those were the two cardinal sins.
Whatever could the reason have been that you were uninvited to the party?
What else could it have been?
Yeah, so it's the same with both sides. You take a stand. You're a free thinker, and you agree with certain things, but you disagree with other things, and you voice that opinion. Then you get on the list. Billionaire at the barricades, the populist revolution from Reagan to Trump, available now on Amazon. And what you should do is you should bookmark us at amcarolla.com and click through, because it just helps. Laura Ingraham, we look forward to watching you on Fox, 10 o'clock.
Love you guys. Your show is so awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Laura. Be happy to be on any one of your 15 shows whenever you like as well. Well, that's what you like. A little intellectual honesty, right?
Sure.
All right, let's see. Our guest is here. Brian's got a Baldywood, and we got the Courtney Love story. Let me tell you about Hot Dates, a half-hour sketch comedy. It's a comedy show featuring a real-life married couple, Emily Axford and Brian K. Murphy. It's based on their popular digital series, Hot Date. It's on College Humor Originals. Over 100 million views. Executive produced by Will Arnett. Will Arnett, good dude, and also one of these dudes much bigger in real life.
Really?
He's not slight.
He's a big, strong dude.
Like, he's not a small guy. Like, you don't get that from watching him on whatever, but he's a strong dude. Good dude.
Adam Ray was singing his praises yesterday, literally in the studio.
Will Arnett. Mm-hmm. Guest stars Kevin Pollak, Ben Schwartz, Mina Savari. Big dude, that Mina Savari. Chronicles the hilarious ins and outs of dating, sex, marriage, and these guys play multiple couples and characters. You can check it out on Pop TV Wednesdays at 8 and 11. Premieres tomorrow, November 8th. Find your channel at poptv.com. That's poptv.com. All right. Courtney Love, and then
let's do Baldywood first, because the stories are almost one and the same, and they happen in a specific order.
Okay,
Baldywood it is.
Hooray for Baldywood! He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood!
Thor Ragnarok is in theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
It is directed by, I'm going to get this name wrong probably, but I'll just make a go of it, Taika Waititi. Anyone know if that's correct?
Nobody's going to correct you.
Taika Waititi.
Sounds like a plan.
He is the co-director of What We Do in the Shadows, Gina loves that movie.
I love that movie.
Vampire mockumentary about vampires. It's a funny movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He also did Hunt for the Wilder People. It came out last year. Right. Really good movie. Track that one down if you haven't seen it. I recommend Hunt for the Wilder People. Thor stars, of course, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Tom Hiddleston, Kate Blanchett, Tessa Thompson from the aforementioned Creed. She was the love interest in Creed.
Oh, mm-hmm. She's cute.
And also the only famous Tessa I could find when I was researching names for our daughter. Jeff Goldblum, fantastic. Idris Elba, Carl Urban, Anthony Hopkins, and Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. Okay, so the plot. There's something. Okay, so Thor, his homeland Asgard is under threat from this monster, and then Loki's there, his brother, and they're feuding.
Well, they're being attacked by
Asgard. That's right, Asgard. They're fighting, and they're feuding, they're trying to save Asgard, but they're also, like, you know, fighting each other, and there's something about their sister, the goddess of death, played by Cate Blanchett. The plot is a complete red herring. The plot means almost nothing to this movie. I'm still not sure what Ragnarok is or was, and I'm not sure I care, because the whole movie exists Thor, Chris Hemsworth, into a Thunderdome-style gladiator-like sequence that takes up the entire second act, where mm-hmm. he's forced to fight against the Hulk. Mm-hmm. It's
all right.
Fantastic. It's one of the best things that the Marvel Universe has ever done. I mean, it's up there with, like, you know, we saw Iron Man. The first act of Iron Man, where they're in the cave and it's like the origin story. Great stuff. Some of the best stuff they've ever
done. Fun story.
Yeah. Fun story. Stuff. This is right up there. It is
right
really
up there.
Fun.
You're saying second act, up there.
The second act,
first act,
the highlight of the film. The whole film is very good. Mm-hmm. This whole film. Mm-hmm. Second act is. I can't wait to go back and watch it again. Gary, you on board with this?
It's excellent. Yeah, you're very right. It. Yeah, the second act really does steal the show and is the most fun. This is one of the funniest Marvel movies in quite a while.
Yeah, to Gary's point, it's a comedy first. And it's a superhero movie second. It's a comedy first. It's a buddy film second. Like, it's almost like a road like buddy film. And then a Marvel movie third. But it's in the vein of like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's definitely got that, you know, we're doing something a little different here. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
So I said in the second act. Oh, what's up?
My question, the way you describe the setup, is it like you're suffering through the first act to get to the great second act?
No, okay. Not at all. This movie is a good movie from start to finish, okay. But the second act is where it sings. That's where it really digs in.
Yeah. Speaking of digging in, can I tell you a little movie story? Mm. I was overhearing.
Talking of Sly Stallone.
I was overhearing I'm much more focused on these types of stories than hanging out with Sly. I was hearing my kids like saying, no, we got up and left. These kids behind us, these teenagers, you know, Olga told them to be quiet and they wouldn't be quiet, but the movie was no good. So we just left anyway. And I was like, what?
Sorry,
this just came in and you were talking about the kids.
Stallone and Stallone looking very Stallone-y.
Yeah. Sonny and Stallone look related. Look at
wishes.
Those punums.
Sonny wishes. God, would he trade me in for a hot second, a New York second.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd be like, is there any city or state that's faster than New York, Dad, or do I have to commit to New York?
Wow.
Yeah, he'd love to trade me in for Stallone. We'll put it up. Yeah, he's preening, right?
Do you need a new son, Mr. Stallone?
I love that the fist is right up against Sonny's face, and he pulls it back a little next to Natalia.
All right. I overhear the story. You can go to amcarol.com. We'll put the pictures up there for you. I overhear the story, and I'm like, so I come walking in the kitchen. I'm like, what movie did you guys leave? And I'm doing the math. This is Olga. Mm-hmm. This is Sonny. This is Natalia. And there's a friend with them, too. And I'm doing the, I wonder who just bought four tickets, and you guys got bored, or the kids behind you were too loud. And they're like, well, there were kids behind us. They kept talking. This is a clue. Kept talking. Olga told them like she was going to report to the manager. Anyway, the movie stunk. And we left after 25 minutes in. And I said, what movie was it? It was Boo 2. The Madea movie. And I was like, then I paused and I steadied myself on the counter. And I said, did you get my money back? No, we left.
Everyone in the theater was chanting the name of the film.
They're like, so you just went and dropped off 45 bucks of my
for 20
money.
We were too indignant to ask.
What were you doing? And I don't do like, look, I'm not one of these guys that like, hey man, I don't eat tuna because of the dolphins. I eat more tuna when I found out they were killing dolphins. I don't care about any of this stuff. But this Tyler Perry, this Tyler Perry and her, him, it, message, as a beacon and a hero to the black community. When he goes on Oprah and like Oprah's like, I can't believe you're such a role model to the black community. And every single thing is somebody saying, hey, Madea, I think the rice is finished. And she goes, finish my ass. She pulls out a gun. Mm-hmm. I'll put a cap in that bowl. You know, and it's like, stop threatening everyone with your gun. Stop saying you're going to put a cap in everyone's ass. Like,
I don't think time's going to be kind to this.
No,
weird
it
caricature.
Is not going to be
the
kind.
The present isn't kind.
And listen, Oprah, this is not a hero. This woman who's perpetuating the endless cycle of black violence in the inner city.
Yeah.
That her problem resolution, her conflict resolution is pulling out a .44 from her purse and screaming, I'll put a cap in the ass of anyone who disagrees with me. Probably not, again, time will not be kind. Last 15 minutes hasn't been kind. And it may seem funny to threaten everyone with gun violence, but I'd say now more than ever.
Yeah, it might be a poor timing.
Maybe time to reel it in. Yeah. A little bit. The notion that I just dropped off $50 of my money to this horrible hack. And not only that, he just makes I mean, he can't write dialogue. Like he does his movies. You look at the dialogue and you're like, I don't know what this is. What is this? That we wanted to go see that goddamn movie and dropped off $50 and they just got up and left. And it's the difference between getting your money back or getting my money back.
That is a difference.
There's a little difference. Ah, screw it. No. We got a little something called dignity. Come on, let's go to Gravity World and spend more daddy's money.
Well, if you want to get back on the winning side of things, just take Sunday to see Thor. Like I mentioned, it's a comedy first. We have a clip. Here is Thor. He's been so, like I said, the second act is him being dropped into this a Thunderdome style gladiator thing where he's got to fight to save his life. But of course, he's populated with weird characters and humorous other creatures, and he's dropped in with a sort of rock monster who's voiced by the director, by the way. And the rock monster is preparing for battle, and Thor's hammer has been destroyed by the goddess of death. So here he is lamenting that his hammer has been gone to the ununderstanding rock monster.
No, I really wish I had my hammer.
Hammer?
Quite unique. It was made from this special metal from the heart of a dying star. And when I spun it really, really fast, it gave me the ability to fly.
You rode a hammer?
No, I didn't ride the hammer.
The hammer rode you on your back?
No. I used to spin it really fast, and it would pull me off the...
Oh, my God. The hammer pulled you off?
The ground. It would pull me off the ground, up into the air, and I would fly. Every time I threw it, it would always come back to me.
Sounds like you had a pretty special and intimate relationship with this hammer, and that losing it was almost comparable to losing a loved one.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Wow.
It's that kind of dialogue. Just
very self-aware.
You got to pay attention. This is not a movie where you turn your brain off. It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's the highest rated Marvel movie ever. It reminds me of Star Trek IV. Like, I don't remember a lot of the Star Trek
movies.
The
whales?
Yes, the one with the whales. The one with the whales was such a radical departure that it stands out. It's the best movie of the whole thing.
I don't care about Japanese fishermen killing whales, but I do care about supporting Tyler Perry movies.
Okay. Well, then you're going to have to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Sonny, my prediction, this is going to end up becoming one of Sonny's all-time favorite movies.
Wow.
He's going to love this movie. It's really good.
Can you take the wife to see it?
Yes. Matt Fondelier, sorry to interrupt, Gary, but Matt Fondelier was asking us earlier, he's like, oh, my wife doesn't really like these Marvel movies. This is a date movie. This is a fun movie, a funny movie. It moves. It never drags.
Couldn't agree more. This is the movie to
take. What about
take
the girlfriend?
Can
we bring her?
Yes.
Not the same time.
Not the same time. You have to spend another $12.
See it twice. Okay, gotcha.
Hooray for Bollywood!
I will tell you a true story. Our guest is here, and then we'll talk about what happened with Courtney Love. First, I'll tell you about Omaha Steaks. Speaking of Sonny, holidays, by the way, and I'll weave that in. Fast approaching, Omaha Steaks, the perfect gift. You can avoid the malls and lines and the crowds. You get the steaks, and you love them. I've gotten them. Lynette sent over Omaha Steaks to the family who, when Sonny had his horrific skull fracture fall, Lynette was in New York. I was having to leave town for Minneapolis and then Nashville, and I had to take care of Sonny, and he was at the hospital, and things were pretty overwhelming with lots of work and travel and Lynette being out. And the nice family who's a friend of Lynette's and ours, they took care of Natalia. She stayed with them for 2 days. And, you know, they got her ready, fed her, took her to school, blah, blah, blah. This is why you need a community, people. Anyway, just got an email from Mrs. Sample. They're the Sample family. And they were sampling some Omaha steaks.
Oh.
And she said...
Where did they get those?
Lynette sent them over as a gift. And she said she checked the fridge and it was empty and it was time to go dinner. And she pulled all those Omaha steaks out and went to town on them. So there you go. A great... Talk about the gift that you get people, you know. This is a good one.
Did it for Father's Day.
Family gift pack. Oh, good. Only $49.99. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter Adam, search bar, and you can get 75% off. Two filet mignons is what it includes. Two top sirloins. Four boneless chicken breasts. Two boneless pork chops. Four burgers. Four kielbasa. Don't sleep on the kielbasa sausages. Literally, don't sleep on kielbasa sausages. Especially if you sleep on your back like I do. Do not sleep on that kielbasa. Plus... Four potatoes au gratin and four caramel apple tartlets and all the stuff. It's just so good. Let's go to omahasteaks.com. Type in Adam, search, hit the search bar, get 75% off. Omahasteaks.com. Type in Adam, search bar, and like do it. Send it to someone you love. It's a good gift. All right, Brian, what do you got?
Quick story, but 100% true. So I'm seeing Thor on Friday, early. I'm out of there about noon. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in Century City Mall because they have the Dolby Theater, and that's like the really good sound and the really good seats. Yep. I want to see Thor at the best possible screen. And I get out, and this is the weekend that Eataly opens up in L.A. And if you guys don't know, listening, Eataly is originally an eatery in New York. And I say eatery. It is a massive city block-sized restaurant, market, bar. It's a destination.
Artisan Italian.
Yeah, Mario
stuff.
Vitale, yeah. Celebrity chef.
Chicago, too.
Yeah, and they opened up more. Yeah, Chicago. I think there's one in London. They're all over the place. And so they're opening one in L.A. here in the West Side, Century City. And it is it's a grand open. They've been promising it for 2 years.
Is it Eataly?
Eataly.
Like, no, I know, but is it mostly Italian?
It's all Italian.
Yes.
It's all Mario Vitale. He's behind Mozza.
Yeah. How is it that Los Angeles doesn't have a little Eataly? Like, in terms of the one more reason we're a piece of shit city, we have little Ethiopia. I would argue that Ethiopia is a little Ethiopia.
We have little Armenia.
We have little Armenia. We have little Koreatown and Filipino. And we don't have a little Eataly, which is weird. And we're never going to, because we already got rid of Columbus Day and replaced it with Indigenous Crying People's Day. Strike you as a weird, like, I'm half Italian, maybe I'm a little biased, but I like living, when you go to New York and have a little Eataly and you go get some gelato and stuff, like, don't we agree?
In San Francisco, North Beach, and it was all
I love North Beach.
Okay, so this just lets you know that we could, we have a little Saigon.
We also have a little Bangladesh.
Awesome, it's all awesome. Here we go, sorry.
So, I posit, by the way, that this Eataly in Los Angeles could become the de facto Little Italy. This will be a destination.
Well, then there's going to be protests. Somehow, Whitey can't do something. There's going to be an issue.
We'll enjoy while it lasts.
Right.
Well, so, I wanted to go, but I thought it would be slammed. So how the hell did you get in?
It opened at 6 p.m. sharp on Friday. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go over and just take a couple pictures, send them to Christy because she's all about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll just see what the whole thing, how they're setting it up. And I walk over and there's like people milling about inside, and there's like people trying to get in. There's like 20, 30 people like waiting outside. And I'm like, what's going on here? So I go up to just take a picture of the outside. And as I'm taking a picture on my phone, I hear, hey, Brian Bishop. And it's my friend from college, Sam Lutfi, who is a manager. He's Courtney Love's manager. And he's poking his head out the window looking.
You just talked about him the other day.
I just randomly brought him up to you the other day. He used to manage Britney Spears, and now he manages Courtney Love. He's a you know, for reals manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't seen the guy in years, but he recognized me. And I'm like, hey, Sam, what's going on? He's like, oh, we're just here at the grand opening. You want to come in? And I see in my corner of my eye the big scary security guard not letting people in. Like, he's turning people away, saying, no, sorry, 6 p.m., sorry, no. And Sam's like, yeah, come on. And he's one of those guys. He's like a manager. Like, come on, yeah. So I'm like, oh, all right. And I kind of just shuffle in right past security guard because Sam's like, he's with me. And next thing you know, Sam's like, come on upstairs. Mario's giving a tour. And we go upstairs to the second floor where Mario is giving the tour of Eataly, and he's giving the tour to all of the A-list stars, and all of the ACAA is right across the street. All the agents and all the managers and publicists and everything, and it's probably 100 people. It's super VIP. Mm. I don't belong there. And there's Courtney Love, and there's Michael Imperioli, and there's Mark Summers from Double Dare, and there's Jimmy Kimmel, and there's Andy Garcia. And
I was going to say Jimmy had to
Jimmy
be there.
Was absolutely there. Mayor Garcetti was there. Evan Handler from Sex and the City. Angela Bassett was there.
That's a real cast of characters. Wow.
The Edge was rain. There. But I was overwhelmed.
Shouldn't
like,
they be touring?
I'm like, I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm handed a plate of al dente pasta and a glass of Prosecco, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'm doing this. So I'm on the tour with Mario Batali, and he's pointing out, you know, oh, this is our gelato station, and this is where we make the fresh pizza, and this is where we cut the fresh, this is where we make the mozzarella, and this is where we cut the fresh prosciutto and all that stuff. And the way it works is it's a giant – it's like – imagine like a Grand Central Market, you know, a big open space. And there's
stalls.
A bar here. Yes, exactly. There's a bar here. There's gelato there. There's a market over here where you can buy, you know, the pasta and you can buy – they make pasta there, for God's sake. And we had some. And I did not belong, but I was hanging out with Courtney Love and all the other crew. And then Courtney wants to leave. And she – and at right that moment, Christy texts and goes, I'm on my way over. Because I text her and like, oh my God, I'm at the grand opening of Italy. She's like, I'm coming over. I'm like, Christy, I don't think I can get you in. I snuck in. I can't do much for you. And I say to Sam, like, can you maybe get Christy in? I know I'm asking a lot, but is it possible? And he goes, go out with Courtney. She's leaving right now. And then when you get there and Christy gets here, you'll let her in. I'm like, all right, this sounds like a very tall order, but okay. And so I go to Courtney Love, who doesn't know me, by the way. I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk you out. You know, Sam asked me to walk you out. It's like, okay, thanks. And she gets to the elevator. The elevator doesn't work because on the second floor. She has to get all the way to the bottom. And she goes, I'm like, yeah, I think I'll take the stairs. And she looked at the stairs the way I used to look at stairs when I was super sick. She did not want to take the stairs.
Right.
So she grabs my arm, and now we're linked arm in arm. And I'm not super steady on the stairs either. So now it's like, who's holding who? And
right.
I walk her down the stairs, and now there's a large crowd outside. And she's going to catch an Uber. And she and the security guard sees me, and I'm like, I'm just going to walk her out to her Uber. He recognizes Courtney Love, and I'm like, I'm going to walk her to Uber and walk back. Walk her down, all the way down, get her to her car. This is Courtney. I said, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And come back. And as I come back, Christy's right there. The security guard recognizes me. He said, he's good. He's good. Amongst the crowd of 200 people, he's good. He's good. Christy's with me. We go back in, and we enjoyed the rest of the
day.
Dude. Wow.
It was fun. It was really fun. I did not belong there. I said hi to Jimmy. He was super, super cool, and it was a fun time.
How was Courtney in the coherency department?
Yeah. Interesting that you brought up the stairs that way. I'm wondering what that means.
I don't know. She didn't seem to want to take the stairs. I mean, she wanted to take the elevator, obviously, and she didn't seem to want to take the stairs alone. I understand. I was there at one point.
But for...
How was there all the other aspects
reason.
Of her?
Very friendly. Maybe, you know...
Neighborly.
A step slower than maybe, you know, the last time I saw her on TV or whatever, but,
yeah.
You know...
Didn't seem high or anything.
No, did not strike me as high. She was very nice and very polite. And
your new best friend.
My new best friend. We're hanging out later today.
That's amazing, because while you were doing that, I was hosting a charity function for little girls with facial disfigurement. So we basically had the same weekend.
Was Mario Batali there giving out pre-pasta and Prosecco? Because
no.
That was fun.
The
I told her to come on the show, by the way.
Oh, good.
I asked her. I said, Courtney, we'd love to have you on the show sometime. And she ignored me.
Speaking of speaking of food, I got to ask. I'm going to ask Dawson. I'm doing a taco survey. I'm putting together some hot taco talk, and I've got a theory. I've got a strong theory, and I know I have strong theories about, you know, trail mix and veggie subs and things like that. I'm going to float a taco theory that is going to fall under that umbrella of the blueberry bagel and
the veggie
subs and all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you, but first, I'd like an
taco.
Unsolicited. So here are the rules. You put these in order. Pork, chicken, steak, soft taco.
Okay.
You just put them in the order.
Mine.
Now here's what I'm saying to everyone, and we can do this online as well. You cannot say, and or fish taco. Mm-hmm. You can't say there's a little place outside of Rosarita that makes a fish taco that's better than any pork or whatever.
You can't say that
because we're not there.
If someone just says, I'm going out
the
for
rules
tacos.
Are, yes. I'm going on a run. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not Taco Bell, but I'm going on a run. I'm getting tacos. What do I sign you up for?
So my order, without even thinking about it, is pork, fish, chicken, beef.
Interesting. Haven't got that, but good.
Okay.
But under those circumstances, I'm just going out for tacos. What can I get you? Chicken first, beef.
It's funny.
Oh,
go ahead.
Why is that?
Keep going.
Okay.
Yes.
Chicken, beef. Chicken, beef, fish, pork. But it's a tight
fish,
grouping.
Pork. If you got pork anything, at the bottom.
Yes, I think the quality could vary.
And
the
you got
most.
Beef at the bottom.
Correct.
Wow. Chris, I talked to every single person in this building and every single person in the other building, and every single person did steak, number one. Number two, pork, and then it'd be like chicken. Chicken was at the bottom of everyone's list. Steak was at the top of everyone's list, except for you're going to get an elite fraternity, which is Dylan. Dylan is the only one who had the chicken.
I will
but I did, after announcing every single person... got steak first. I did announce Brian's probably going chicken first, which out of literally 17 people I've spoken to, including
strangers.
In passing.
I walked in. We had a guest on Ace on the House, and his manager was there. And it's just a black guy standing in the thing. And I walked up and I just went, taco rankings. What do you got? Steak. Steak was everyone's. In this room, you got chicken number one.
Yeah,
you got
pork.
You got steak last.
Correct.
I got steak second.
Wow, you got steak second.
Yeah, chicken, steak, fish, pork. Well, but I will say that it's a tight grouping. Like if you came back with pork tacos, I'm in. But
also,
I prefer chicken.
I haven't.
Nobody prefers chicken. And the reason no one prefers chicken is because the agreement was there's too much variation. It could be dry, could be whatever, and the steak is like they knew what they were getting.
Yeah,
that's how
I feel about pork. I feel like that's the most variation. No,
well, not like shredded carnitas.
Oh,
I haven't eaten beef since 1993, by the way. So maybe this wasn't fair.
Wrong
or
room.
Yeah.
But I did.
Just don't
now
like
Dawson's going to have fish on top of his thing. But
no, I'm close to Gina. You got to start with carnitas because you're saying soft taco, right?
Yeah, I like carnitas. I'm up there with carnitas.
Everyone is the order of the day.
Everyone had chicken at
carnitas
the bottom.
Carnitas is one.
All right. What
then
do you
it's fish because those are the way those tacos are served.
Yeah. So far we're on track.
And then I would go beef and chicken on the bottom.
Everyone had chicken on the bottom. Brian had chicken on the top.
That's why I'm here, everyone.
I talk. Now, you got to understand.
Hashtag on brand.
We got groups. We got at the other shop. We got the blue collar dudes from Connecticut who are completely just busting their knuckles working on cars all day in the back. And then we got the cool hipster young vibe of all nations in the front. Mm-hmm. They all started with steak.
Oh. Yeah, if you came back with carnitas tacos, I certainly wouldn't turn them back, but I'll ask for a chicken.
Start with chicken. Yeah. So you got chicken.
Steak.
Steak, pork.
Fish, pork.
He has fish, pork.
Chicken, steak, veggie lover pizza, pork.
All right, now we got to... Now, to be fair, let me remove fish, because all the other people I asked at the top, I just went chicken, steak, or pork. And again, somebody's going on a run. It's not your favorite joint. Out of those three, you guys can answer. So I was going to make a point, but now
let's
it's going to be
tough.
So we had football Sunday and Ed was going on a taco run, and every single person I spoke to, including Mike August, who was coming over, I said, what kind of tacos do you want? Everyone said steak tacos. So everyone had steak, and Ed went on a run, and Ed did the 3-3-3. He did 10 steak, 10 chicken, and 10 pork. Nobody ate the chicken, and no one really wanted the pork. And here was the bigger problem. Because he went 3-3-3, and they screwed up. They did 20 chicken,
oh God,
10 pork, and no steak.
Oh,
and everyone wanted steak. So poor Ed had to go back.
Poor Ed!
But it was at that point when I realized, well, they kind of screwed up, and he kind of screwed up because he did the what I say not to do all the time, which is, all right, we got 30 people on the crew. I'm going to Quiznos. I'm going to get 10 beef sandwiches, 10 turkey, and 10 veggie subs. Yep. Like, don't ever break it down that way. It was at that point when I kind of went, do people not like chicken tacos as much as I don't really like chicken tacos? And I will definitely eat chicken tacos. I just have steak and pork above them, and I think I have fish above them, depending on where they come from, stuff like that. Fish can get a little, they put too much sauce on it, get a little soggy sometimes. You got to be careful, or sometimes they batter them instead of cook them fresh, or there's different versions. But the point is nobody wanted the chicken tacos, and these are kids and adults and everybody. And I started walking around the office asking everybody, and Nobody wanted chicken tacos.
Brian would have been
but I did
super
call
happy.
Brian. I did get that.
You did.
Had a feeling about.
I know I'm in the vast minority on this, but and as much as I love steak, I ordered a ribeye steak on Saturday, for God's sake. I feel like steak tacos, the steak cubes that come in tacos, if anything, they're a little bit rubbery and like really poor quality meat. So
yeah. I feel, but I make the same argument about chicken. I can never tell if it's the gristly part or the part of the chicken. It's a little dry or something.
If you're going to, you know, a regular, like, kind of taco joint around here and they, you know, they got all their meats in the containers,
the
ones that are in the juice, usually 90% of the time, are the carnitas, and carne asada has a little bit of the juice in there. So the chicken is generally the driest taco you can get.
All right.
Dawson knows from
unless it is like not shredded chicken.
There's a lot of judging going on.
I couldn't have picked. You got chicken at the top and you got steak at the bottom. Yeah. All right. There's my point. You guys have driven my point home. And every human being I spoke to, Gary watched me all day ask everybody walk through with it. They all, except for Dylan, every single person said steak at the top, chicken at the bottom.
All right, up top, Gina.
Yeah.
Tom was very serious about this. He entered the building today and the first thing that I heard was, Gary, taco.
Yeah. Love that band. All right. Chad, was it Prather? I can't remember.
Prather.
I can't remember how I had him on Take a Knee, and I can't remember how I said. Chad Prather's out there. He is.
Find out his taco preference.
Oh, yeah.
It's the political cowboy. That's what I wanted to do. You've seen his videos.
We've played him on the news.
Many, many of his videos. Yes, we played him on the news. We'll bring in Chad right after this.
And now, the Podcast One presentation of Good Sports.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Quick reminder, if you want to hear about the world of pro football, dig into the Dave Damashek football program, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor, Matt Money Smith, and the rest always available at iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts. We tackle the game of football, but more importantly, just as we do here on Good Sports, we tackle the game of life. Ace, let's talk about that right now. And in fact, within your walls here in the warehouse in Glendale, California, I feel like we have a little bit of a controversy here because Dylan behind the glass there was offered. Explain this, Gary. Why don't you lay it out here for us?
It was a friend of Dylan's. Dylan came to me and posited a friend of mine was offered. This is after Game 5 of the World Series where the Dodgers were down 3-2, and he was offered tickets to his choice of either Game 6 or Game 7. And Dylan and I had a severe disagreement as to which was the right choice, and I thought it'd be interesting to get your guys' take.
My angle was going to Game 6 is a lose-lose situation because you go, they win, and you could have gone to Game 7, or you go and they lose, and you watch them blow the World Series. So why not just wait?
Well, I think you're applying some 20/20 hindsight a little bit there. But yes, Ace, your thoughts? Which is the better game to choose?
Well, obviously, the better game is 7, but we don't know it's going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a kind of almost a coin toss.
Well, what would you have chosen?
Because I don't care about baseball that much and or the Dodgers that much, which is nice because people are mourning in this town. A lot of dopey Dodger fans.
Are they, though?
Town.
You know, I was going to bring that up to you, Ace, because just last week, I feel like as we go upon further review, I last week said, people, Los Angeles sports fans are a little underrated. They care. They fill Dodger Stadium year after year. They lead the league in attendance. But I don't get the vibe just from my past cities in which I've lived, past sports towns, certainly Pittsburgh, Provincial, and even Chicago, where there are a lot of transients. when the team, the local team, loses or wins, it's everywhere. Like when if the Pittsburgh Penguins are making the Stanley Cup run, you do not go anywhere in Pittsburgh without somebody bringing that up. Like, oh, what do you think is going to happen tonight? Yeah. L.A., you can go the whole day without even knowing there's a World Series happening.
Oh, my God. Well,
you don't think that?
Look, L.A., you know, the Rams could be in the Super Bowl and the game could be at 3:22, and at 3:30, you could walk through the streets of L.A. and just see business as usual. People walking selling hot dogs on the street, folks just out and about, traffic on the freeway. Like, there is no – you can't make a dent in L.A. It's too
like
fast.
Every bar is filled when – again, using a – if the Blackhawks are in the – or the Cubs last year, you couldn't go into a bar. You would stand in line for an hour to get into the bar to watch those games. Here, I was driving around listening to Game 6 and Game 7. I was in the car for a little bit of those, and I was struck by exactly that. I'm driving by restaurants like, yeah, they're thinly populated
but
in
listen,
there. Like, they're not even going
we,
out
we
to
can
watch
try,
it.
We can try an experiment here, because here's why it won't work in L.A. Nobody hears from here, and it's not like they moved from Milwaukee. They moved from Honduras. Like, they're not. They didn't grow up following the Dodgers. Baseball may not even be their sport. You know, we're so fractured and so spread out. If you call Gary a random 818 number, that would just be a number here in the San Fernando Valley somewhere. If you dialed a random 818 number just randomly on your phone, I guarantee whoever picks it up will either not speak English or have a super strong accent. You're not going to hear a random person go, "What can I do you for?" "Hey, hello, this is Chad. Who is this, please?" You would never, I say we call three numbers, 3 818 numbers.
Ooh, that's fun.
We'll just put it on speaker. Now there may be no pickup. There may be pickup. When it goes to message, we'll hear the accent of going to message, if in fact it's even an accent. It could just be Spanish. Thus, You try it.
I'm interested to hear how this shakes out. Meantime,
now, these are random. And by the way, when I say 818, I just mean I grew up in the 818. Just it could be Sherman Oaks, it could be Encino, it could be Toluca Lake, it could be San Fernando. It'll be somewhere in this massive valley.
All right. I'm interested to see the results of this. I'll say this. I have done this in the past. I've had similar situations. I always am aspirational with my fandom, which when I'm going for a ticket. Do I want to make sure I see a game? Wait, the Penguins are in the Stanley Cup final. Do I definitely want to see a game? Well, then I have to go to game one or two so that I can see them. Or am I going to gamble and say, give me the latest possible game because that could be the clincher? That's the one I go to. I want the one that's the clincher. I say, roll the dice, pick game seven if I had been offered 6 and 7 for the Dodgers.
I will say, for me personally, I would say I'll wait till game seven if, in fact, there is a game seven. I don't care. But if it was a situation where it's like, somebody, you know, you had your 9-year-old nephew who was suffering with leukemia and he was staying with you in between hospice care and they'd only given him 2 weeks to live, I would pick the game six just to make sure little Lucas went lived to see that. You know
boy,
what I mean?
That's a sad bit of irony that poor Lucas contracted leukemia.
I told my sister when she was naming him, hey, you're playing with fire.
You're asking for it, you know. It's like you're tempting the fates to.
Yes. All right. So Gary and Dylan, what we're going to do is we're going to get on speaker. Are you listening, Gary? We're going to get on speaker. We're going to have Dylan or whomever dial a random 818 number, and we're going to hear the person. Now, Dylan.
I was planning to just put it up once it started ringing.
Okay, and Dylan needs to, if they pick up, Dylan just needs to ask if Chad is there.
Well, you guys are going to be the ones who are
okay.
Sorry.
Shada Vafi.
Is not available. Put your message at the tone.
All right, you can hang up. Shada Vafi's a big Rams fan?
Shay, did you think that Clayton Kershaw, if he was ready to go, that he should have just started the game instead of bringing him in halfway through?
Oh, Shay's got strong opinions. Now, that was one name, or we don't know. Indian, you think? Sound Indian to you?
I have no idea, because it all slammed together. It was hard to...
Here's round two.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Probably visiting Lucas in the hospital.
All right. I don't know why that...
We'll call one more.
Cut off. All right. So Sheck, you
asked... I don't like that lady's attitude either. I've talked about her before, but that lady, like, sorry, you've got the number you've called. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. This lady who, she throws around such attitude. You have no messages. But then when you have a lot of messages, like, you have 7 new messages. Like, let's hang out. Like, no. I remember how you talked to me when you thought I was friendless, front runner.
Chatham Park, this is Melissa.
Hi, is Chad in?
I'm sorry?
Is Chad there?
You got the wrong number.
What is this business?
It's a school.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
All right, we got a school, which is kind of... Right.
Baseball all right. Academy.
All right, let's do one more. We got to do one more. Now, these are random 818 numbers.
That's correct.
She still didn't sound like a big Rams fan to me.
Yeah, I was surprised that you didn't jump in. And like, what do you think? Is it more about Andrew Whitworth fortifying the offensive line, or is it really the innovative coaching? Here we go. Be fun if a Ram answered the phone. Hey, this is Greg Zuerlein.
Please leave your message for 818-741-6322.
Too much voicemail in this day and age. Although, to be fair, I don't answer my phone, and I dare say I don't know the last time you picked up the phone either, Ace.
I haven't even had my phone for 3 days. It's a very, very long story. It's very sad. All right,
let's wrap it up. That was I'm going to give that A- for idea and a C- for execution, Dylan. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
We got all a right. school. Call the school.
All right. That's it for today's presentation of Good Sports on Podcast One Sports. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good Sports.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers Podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy, Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
The next time I have to come here, I am cracking a skull.
If you said The Breakfast Club,
the next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Should have built that wall 31 years ago. Kept Ozzy out of here. Chad Prather's here. The podcast, by the way, is the show after his own name. It's coming to Podcast One. Next Thursday, November 16th, also website politicalcowboy.com. Chad and I spoke on Take a Knee, I believe it was. Chad,
it was,
yes.
Yeah.
And Chad, very interesting story. We played one of his videos. He's had many videos go viral. And we started talking, and I forgot about this. I just looked down. 2 decades of your life living in Africa.
Yeah.
You went there with the church on a, you had a pastor who was like a motivational guy, mm-hmm. and you went as a teen, as a late, early 20s?
No, I started going, I think the first time I went to Africa, I was 20. I was mm-hmm. 20. And so I was there sporadically throughout 20s and 30s, and I would go and stay a month, 2 months at a time.
Is there anything, I feel like when you have a corrupt government, there's almost no amount of love, attention, resources, grain, or what have you. There are not enough Bill Gates on the right. planet if the government is corrupt.
We'll allow
there's
it.
Like right. just almost, it just can't move the needle. Is that?
Well, once upon a time, Ethiopia was known as the breadbasket of the world. And now they're starving to death. And that's, people have done everything from serious commentary to comedians making jokes about people starving in Ethiopia. But once upon a time, it was abundant. But because of corrupt government, it's not anymore. We used to joke about it when we were in Nigeria, and it's not a joke, but that we used to say that you had a commercial government in Lagos, you had a civil government in Abuja, you had a right arm and a left arm, and neither knew what the other one was doing, and neither one of them really cared. So even when resources were brought in there, you would see power lines on the ground out in the middle of nowhere, and you would say, well, why aren't they on poles? And they said, well, they put metal towers up to run those lines, but then they came in and they salvaged all of that stuff. They took it, scrapped it, and took it and used it for other stuff. So you couldn't even build anything without them coming in there and tearing things down. It's absolutely crazy.
I can't remember who I spoke to. Maybe Gary will know. I've done so many of these Take a Knee podcasts. But I interviewed a young man who basically said, yeah, no more sacks of grain. We got to get the government fixed.
Right.
Because if you think about the amount of sacks of grain and other resources we've dropped off over the last 50 years, you could tilt the continent over with right. the amount. It's endless with the government's bad. On right. the other hand, if you get the government right, then you don't need to drop
well,
the sacks of grain.
Government aside, in many cases, you have a religious issue as well. You take India, where people are starving in India. You can drop off grain after truckloads, trainloads of grain. But the rats are going to eat the grain, and you can't kill the rats. Because in the Hindu religion, that's a sacrilege.
Oh, is it?
So there's a matter of that. And of course, there's cows everywhere. But again, in the Hindu religion, you can't kill the cows. They're sacred. So you have a government issue. In many cases, you have a religious issue. And so it gets pretty quirky on all sides.
It's so, I guess it's one of these first world problems or something. But and you can only see things through the lens of the time you're born in and where you're born. But every time I look at everywhere else and then I sort of look around here, I go, well, why doesn't everyone just kind of knock this one off? You know what I mean? Like, hey,
like a checklist.
Well, I mean, whatever the Chinese are doing to the Titleist golf clubs and all that stuff, they knock off, just knock off this, you know, government, not, you know, a little, there's always a little cases going on, but by and large, things are pretty good. We don't do a lot of haggling. We're religious, but we kind of leave the folks alone to practice their religion for the most part. Right. We do our own thing, and it seems to work out pretty good. Like, there's a good model for it. It's right here. It's
do
been working.
Do your royalty-free, unlicensed version.
Yes, that's
well,
right.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems that I have when I look around a first world America and I see how many people, especially a younger generation, that just aren't thankful for what we have. And you go anywhere in the world and you realize pretty quick we have a lot to be thankful for. I mean, you're talking about whether you're going to have steak, chicken, or
pork.
You know, fish, pork, yep. whatever. And, you know, I eat chicken wings almost 4 times a week, so I'm...
wait, give us your taco power rankings.
Well, I'm going to have to go chicken because the steak is going to tend to be...
This, vindication!
This is
difficult. Here's the thing, though. I trend because I'll eat so many fish tacos that I just get sick of them.
But that's an argument for fish tacos.
It is an argument
for power
rankings. But then I get to a point that I'm like, it's just like it's coming out of my nose. I just can't do it anymore.
I'm removing fish. I want to know, and I'm not... not which way the taco wind is blowing today, but in general, big picture, Chad. Give me your taco power rankings.
It's going to be chicken. I can't because the beef, you never know
where's
what you're getting.
Steak?
That's what I said.
I use the same argument that Adam used about the chicken. What part am I chewing? I tell you a Nigeria story. When I first got to Nigeria the first time, let me tell you, I was there with a
doctor.
Wait
a minute. I need second, third.
Okay.
Everyone's taking a podium.
I would go chicken, fish, and steak.
All right, now, no fish. Now I'm substituting fish for pork.
Oh, pork. I like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Steak at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
If I'm making a
weird
steak,
life.
Finally
talk
to a couple of smart guys and get chicken number one.
I was in Nigeria. I go in this restaurant, restaurant, you know, quote unquote.
Human being outside this building. UPS guys, as I said. Steak, steak, steak.
UPS guys.
Every single person said steak. No. All right, go ahead.
No, I'm sitting there in this restaurant, which is a loose term. That it's got a dirt floor. And and there's, you walk through a curtain. That was the door. And the doctor I was with, he looks at the, quote, waiter and says, I want beef. And he points at his stomach and he goes, not this beef, and then he points at his leg. He goes, I want this beef. In other words, don't give me entrails. Don't give me that. I want muscle. And so, you know, that's always freaked me out a little bit.
Is there any...
And I'm a cow boy. I'm a cow guy. I love cows.
Yeah,
I love
you're
the steak
a political cowboy.
Chicken boys,
but
what
I've
you
seen
are.
Parts of cows. I've seen parts of cows that make me love a chicken, and I truly believe a chicken is just a rat with a good reputation. But I love... my chicken.
Gina, one more time just to make me go home and kill myself. Yeah. You got beef at the bottom.
Yeah, so if we're going last to first, beef is last, then chicken, fish if we're doing it, and pork first.
So you got pork, chicken,
pork,
and beef at
no.
the bottom.
No, pork, fish, chicken.
Fish if we're doing it.
Please help me. No, we're taking fish off
right,
of this.
Pork, fish chicken, out. Beef.
Okay, there we go.
Now we
and I said chicken.
Excellent. So we're basically, we got two first places and a second place for in chicken. The chicken in this room. But the second we walk out. All right, Gary, now we're going to have to really. Yeah. I'm going to have to. Now I will put names next to these tacos when we get to the, when I get to the other group, when I get to the other warehouse. Okay. When Garagos gets in there, that's a thinking man. We'll find out what Garagos wants.
Break it down.
So is there there is no. Yes, and I agree. And so you and I are on the same page. When it comes to, I think, us beating ourselves up as a nation, mm-hmm. especially compared to what's out there, and then the misery index of all the young people who think we're growing up, you know, it's like when you hear, so you're a kid, you know, I was listening to Rosie O'Donnell being interviewed, and she said, you know, Hollywood, it's not like Hollywood is racist. And I went like, oh, good. Thanks. Good. Thanks. Somebody's saying the truth. Thanks. She goes, the whole nation is racist. Hollywood is just a part of the nation. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. But why are you poisoning your goddamn kids with it? We're living in this racist nation. Oh, there is this. There is that. There is everything else. There's everything that's bad. There's everything that's bad in this country, but it's not who we are. That's what I don't get. Why it is child abuse to indoctrinate your kids into that world.
Right.
I believe if you can say pulling out a switch and smacking them on the ass once a month when they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, if you can say that's abuse, convincing them that we're living in a horrible nation. That's oppressive, man. That's 24/7. Yeah. That doesn't take weekends off. I think it's the most irresponsible thing you can do as a parent.
Yeah, you're setting them up for failure. 100%.
Oh, that too. Yes.
It's a false reality.
You're setting up for misery and failure.
Yeah.
And a life of eating chicken tacos.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, you know, it's the every man's meat.
Because a cowboy's
you know?
Got the word cow in his name.
It's the every man's meat. You know, chicken pollo for everybody. Mm-hmm. But no, I agree with you. I think it sets up a false reality. And you have people who grew up with a false sense of, you know, feigned shock and oppression that really doesn't exist when you really should look around and be pretty thankful. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be culturally different. It's okay to have different opinions with other people. I you know, having a conversation with somebody the other day, I said, whatever happened to dialogue? Whatever happened to discussion? Rather than this dogma where we put people in a corner and we say, okay, this is how you view the world. This is the paradigm, the network through which you see things. And it's just setting them up for failure because that's not the way the world actually works.
Well, we have a world that works pretty well. And there's flaws in it. But in general, I don't know where else you'd want to be if you have a motor and an idea. And, you know, I got a son and a daughter, and I'm not interested in explaining to her why things will never work out for her unless she marries a rich producer, but that we live in this, you know, oppressive, sexist society is never going to let her get her head. If I thought it was 100% true, I still would never utter a word. The same way I don't talk to her about eventually contracting a cancer and dying one day. Like,
exactly.
I don't want to fill her head with that. I will tell her, hey, eat right and exercise, but I'm not going to tell her about the cancer that is looming out there, which doesn't mean she can't get it.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
Gina
know,
Grant.
Interesting. It just popped in my head. You hear a lot of parents with special needs kids, and something that I've anecdotally heard across the board is, we don't treat them differently, and we don't make them feel different, and we don't remind them that they're different. So why are we doing this in other areas?
It's a very astute point. The thing is, if anybody is successful, you know, I just saw a expose on F1 driver. Black F1 driver.
Willie Tubman.
Yeah. Willie Tubman.
Lewis Hamilton?
Hamilton, sorry. Hamilton, and he has a brother, his disabled brother. He has, like, cerebral palsy or something. Anyway, it was like, yeah, we never got treated any differently. I was expected to do whatever. And every psychologist and every teacher and every decent parent will go, no, you tell that person there's no difference. You got a little thing. You're just going to have to work a little bit harder. You're so right. It's 100% right, which is you have somebody and you can't ignore this. Yes, cerebral palsy. He's also driving now, but you can't ignore this thing where one leg is shorter than the other. You have this thing at birth. And then the answer for any responsible, loving parent is you're going to have to outwork the guy next to you because of this. But don't worry. We expect the same performance out of you, chores, scholastically, whole thing. We're not going easy on you. We expect the same performance out of you. And with that, you shall achieve. Mm-hmm. And then they mostly go on and do that. Mm-hmm. Now, we have someone because of the color of their skin or their religion or whatever genitalia they were born with or their sexual proclivities, and we have to pull them aside and explain that there's a target on their back and they're never going to get anywhere and this society's cursed and turned against them. Like, what? Just imagine the handicapped person go, we live in a horrible society without ramps, and people will make fun of you, and they will attack you, and you'll never be able to hold down a steady job. And by the way, if a cop sees you limping out of the van, he's going to open fire on you. Yeah. It's open season on your ass. It'd be the worst thing you could do to that handicapped person.
Yeah, you better get that hitch out of your giddy up and learn how to run away.
That's right.
You're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, roll serpentine. I think that part of the problem is, okay, and you and I may have talked about this on the Take a Knee podcast. We had a generation of people who came along, baby boomers, who tended to be absent. They were out making a living, and they did well for themselves. And so we had a generation of latchkey kids who felt abandoned. They felt alone. They felt like, you know, they wanted this and that, and they just didn't have it. And so the baby boomers tended to compensate for the absence by giving them things. Mm-hmm. And so we grew up with things, but we felt abandoned. And so now the Generation X comes along, and they start having babies, and their baby not only has to have everything, they also have to have 100% affirmation all the time. You can't tell them no. They can't feel disappointed. They can't feel bullied. They can't feel picked on. So we have to warn them about all the things that are out there in the world, all the potential pitfalls and dangers that could come down, without letting them at some time, which I think is healthy, let them discover on their own. Look, you encountered a speed bump. Well, you learn from it. You know, but instead now everybody's looking for speed bumps.
Well, and you allow yourself to find strength because of it.
Yeah, you grow from it.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we do a little news, Gina Grad? Chad, hang in and crack wise with us.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Taco polls out on Twitter if you guys want to get involved with this.
Very important. Mm-hmm. Well, I hate to start here, but it's just too big not to bring up at
one,
least.
One, two, and three. No fish.
The way we had to do the poll is you kind of have to pick one of the three options. So we just sort of asked everyone what's in their number one position. So we'll get you percentages back on that. And then people can tweet us their power rankings at Adam Carolla Show.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry. Well, at least eight members of the same family were among the 26 people killed Sunday when a man armed with a rifle burst into a church in Texas and started firing. The mass shooting left about 20 others wounded, so far as we know right now, in the small town of Sutherland Springs. It's about 30 miles east of San Antonio. The victims range from age 5 to 72. I actually heard an 18-month-old number. I'm not totally sure about that. The shooter was first shot by an armed resident who confronted the gunman outside the church. The suspect then turned the gun on himself. So this guy, by the way, he was court-martialed in 2012 for assault on his spouse and assault on their child. He served a year in confinement, received a bad conduct discharge, and had his rank reduced. And this is the worst mass shooting in Texas history. And we've been using the worst mass shooting a lot lately. I think this is the third time in
he never went to prison. He was in military prison.
Yeah, it sounds like it was more of a military prison.
I read an article that said he was incarcerated for like a year. And that could be, but you know how the news comes out splotchy.
Yeah, and especially right now because this is Monday.
It's an interesting thing. I have this belief that if you are capable of beating the shit out of a woman and a kid, that you kind of have...
Sky's the limit.
Yeah. That you do. I mean, because there's not a lot of gray area. Like, I could never ball up my fist and hit my wife or my kid. And believe me, they piss me off all the time, but I could never do
it. It's justified.
It's justified. No court in the land would ever convict you. Never. Never. Especially with Garrigus by my side. I couldn't do it. Yeah. Like, I just physically can't do it. And then you see... Sometimes you'll see like a fight and like the guy will be fighting with some other guy, whatever, and the guy's laying on the ground and the cops are there and the cops are restraining the guy and the guy's trying to kick the other guy in the head while the cops are hanging on to him. And you think, that guy could do anything.
That's an instinct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
toggle
weird
switch.
That's a switch like when a dog goes bad that could just, he could bite the mailman or he could bite the owner or he could bite the toddler. Like there is, it's just a weird switch. And when you got that switch, I'm not sure what to do with you. Because, 14 months here and 18 months there, that doesn't get rid of that switch.
Well, and I don't think I'm talking about my ass, that he didn't do anything that would alarm any red flags on a background check for a gun either.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's like, we need stiffer this, but then none of the stuff would ever, none of the alarms would ever go off, so we got to figure something out. With that, what was his thing? Is he pissed at the church? Is his old lady at that church?
Church? Yeah, I just heard on the way here, and Gary, maybe you can help me with this. I'm sorry, because this is literally just in the last half hour, whatever. He and his girlfriend's mother or his mother-in-law were fighting, and she was a member of this church. So I don't know if he was going there specifically to target her and her family.
How old was he, the shooter?
26.
Mid-26, yeah.
So this is an interesting thing I never really thought about, which is I think about all the things we do as a society. People tweet me pictures all the day of people just sleeping on airport floors, just sprawled out all over the place. And I thought, no one ever would have done that in the past. Like, hey, your flight's delayed 45 minutes. I'm going to bivouac here by the Cinnabon. Like, I'm going to spread out my blanket.
You would call an ambulance. You were sick.
This guy collapsed. Mm-hmm. Right, right. This is people just sort of sleeping. This is sort of behavior. So I think in the past, if you had a problem, more thoughts. Okay. The thing in the past, it was this. In the past, there'd be like the two brothers. And one of them was the successful brother and the other one was the ne'er-do-well. And it was very uncomfortable around Thanksgiving when the one guy was explaining that he made dentist of the year in the Boston area. And the other one had to sheepishly ask to borrow some money from dad in the kitchen, just before that. And so the loser brother always had a thing for the winner brother. What it was shame. But he'd always tell you, it's like, all Kurt thinks about is money. And he lent me $5,000 and he never stopped rubbing it in my face and all that stuff. And we all know it's just envy and shame. Envy and shame. Now, that used to just be how the family went. But if the loser brother was leaving the house on Thanksgiving and he saw old man Jenkins and his Cadillac drive by. He wasn't pissed at him too. He was just pissed at his brother. That somehow that we just kind of kept it under one roof. Now we've opened it up. Now we've decided that the guy driving the Cadillac's also on that guy's shit list and needs to be dealt with as well, even though they have nothing to do with one another. It's still, he's shaming me by driving his brand new and getting a new Cadillac every year, and I'm still living at home and trying to borrow money from dad. So we've opened it up to this society, right, and now we have to go to war on society. It, you see it every time you turn on the news. It's the college campuses, whatever it is. We've broadened this thing that used to just take place with the sibling rivalry. We've expanded it. And in the past, when the guy with the girlfriend and the mom and the whatever, the story would be the guy shoots girlfriend and kills himself. Right. Guy kills mother-in-law, kills himself. Mm-hmm. Guy kills himself. Or guy drinks himself to death and just drives into a train or whatever. Now that we've expanded everything into society, we're not doing this thing where it's like we're going to shoot a bunch of people we don't know and then we'll kill ourselves, which I think is all part of the greater just expansion, which again, brother would get high, kill successful dentist brother, and then kill himself. Now he's got to get high, kill the guy in the Cadillac, then come back and kill brother, then kill anyone else he can find in a Cadillac. That's what I don't like about this weird slippery slope mess, this thing where we've turned society into this. And that's why I think there's more of this. We've opened everything up. And this is why I don't like all the systemic oppression and all. I don't want to bring race into it. What I'm saying is I don't want to like all the society stuff because I think why not then kill everybody if we're living in a horrible society? In the past, you just kill yourself, kill your girlfriend. That'll be on you.
Yeah, and you know, I
actually kill your girlfriend, then kill yourself. Yeah,
Also, this is another like walking on eggshells and trying to think like a crazy person, which is never the answer. But I just have this little voice in the back of my head wondering, when we keep reporting these things, because it's true that this is the worst mass shooting on, you know, U.S. soil. This is the worst mass shooting in the state of history of the state of Texas. Are crazy people trying to vie for that number one position? I worry about calling everything.
It's my X Games theory. Nobody could do a 780 or 720 on a skateboard. And then Tony Hawk pulled it off. And 10 minutes later, every 13-year-old could pull it off. Yep. They knew there's a part.
The seal had been broken.
Yeah, there's an interesting or sort of, it was kind of a weird thing. So I'm working on this Willie T. Ribbs doc. And, you know, sometimes they will tell race car drivers, like the engineer and the mechanic will say to the guy, hey, for the qualifying, I put on a special set of tires. Special set. You can go faster in these. Ooh. Because a guy has a sort of number or speed or whatever in his head. And then when they tell him, we got a special set of tires,
Sibo,
they'll go faster. But they can also kill themselves too. So it's kind of a weird, you got to be careful with it. But there's a weird thing of the human mind, which is, doing this when we were growing up, it didn't exist. And so when it doesn't exist, whether it's an iPhone or 780 on a skateboard, it just doesn't exist. It's not on the menu of possibilities. And now it is on the menu of possibilities.
Right. Perfect example, Roger Bannister, when he broke the 4-minute mile.
That's right.
1954. Nobody'd ever done it in recorded history. And since then, about 25,000 people have done it.
Right.
Every block I looked up, like, oh, that can be done? Right. I don't know geography of Texas that well. Is that anywhere near you? Where
no,
this
it's,
happens?
About, 4.5 hours south of me.
It's a 900, so says, the 900 degrees, so says Gary.
On,
Tony Hawk, yeah. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, man. You got to get some home security. Simply Safe. But you don't want the slimy sales guys. They show up, they got the long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? Let's get the best protection and let's do it easily. All you got to do is go to Simply Safe Home Security. Two eyes in there. You get top-of-the-line protection, no long-term lock-in contracts, no hidden fees. You just order it online, set it up in an hour, and your home and family are protected 24/7. Peel and stick. They got the 3M tape. The batteries last up to 10 years, because it's that thing where you go, well, no cords, no drilling, no power. How do we do that? Up to 10 years the batteries last. And when you're ready to move like Dawson, you just pop it off, take it with you to the new pad, man. Get 10% off now at simplysafe.com/Adam. 10% off, a great system, Simply, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. Or you can get it at your local Best Buy. All right, let's do one more, shall we?
All right, well, you'll love this. This just in, actually, from Gary. Following a series of 6 drop tests of the iPhone X, the brand new one, gadget insurance company SquareTrade has labeled the iPhone X the most breakable, highest priced, most expensive to repair iPhone ever. The iPhone X suffered catastrophic failure from the first drop.
Does X mean 10 in this particular case?
They call it iPhone 10, but when they write it out, they put it.
Oh, I thought they were calling it the X.
They call it the 10.
Oh, that's so confusing.
Now, I don't need this thing because this.
I have one here. I don't think you'd like it.
This is like. You know when you see the middle-aged fat guy and he's on the Specialized mountain bike and he's like, this thing is an all-titanium skeleton with a Kevlar reinforced. And you're like, dude, you're fat. You're going to an Einstein Bagels right now. It's noon. Like, you've never been off-road. Like, this, the bike is, you know, the bike only weighs, you know, 122 ounces or whatever it is. And it's like, this bike is way beyond what you could ever. And I'm that way with the phone, right?
Gary, I would not bring that phone in here. This is the most breakable iPhone.
It's the most breakable.
Don't bring it in here. Mm-hmm. So this is what happened on the first drop test. It's at
Now, drop test is we hold it 36 inches above a concrete slab. Like, there has to be criteria.
Everyone has their... I don't know if there's a uniform one, but every site announces before they do it, all right, we're going to hold it 3 feet, 6 feet. I see a lot of 6 feet. A
lot of 6 feet.
Yes.
All right. All right. So this is what happened when they dropped it the first time. On its first drop, SquareTrade saw the iPhone X10, shatter. Its screen become completely unresponsive, and its widely touted facial recognition feature fail completely. Subsequent tests on different phones were just as bad. Side and back drop tests. Remarkably, the side drop did the most internal damage to the phone, while the outside of the phone only suffered cosmetic damage. The screen was rendered inoperable. Meanwhile, the back drop completely shattered the back panel, leaving loose shards of glass, making it obviously difficult to hold.
Don't they have other tests? I thought they had that rhino glass or whatever it was.
It was supposed to help, right?
Gorilla glass, they do, but
helpful.
My guess is this is like the Ferraris or the high end Lamborghinis. You're gonna spend a lot of time in the shop because they're high performance vehicles and they're delicate to an extent. Like, I imagine this is more of the Ferrari rather than the Chevy truck.
Well, and
of phones.
And right. Don't forget,
this guy's got the facial recognition glass and it's got no buttons, right?
Right.
It's just got all.
What do you need it for, Gary?
I had a very old 6 that was just dying. I haven't had a camera for 6 months.
So the 6 foot is when the thing comes out of your hat holster when you're jogging.
I don't know why
is the 6 foot? Why do we have a 6 foot? And by the way, if you're parasailing and your phone falls out, that's on you. I don't need to guard against that.
What's up to your ear? Someone startles you.
Oh, that's true. It could be the guy brought me mine in Washington, D.C. and slipped on black ice and like threw it. Like, it's one thing to see a guy slip and drop your phone. Something like when he launches it. Like, he literally put it. Yeah. Miss Crowley, you forgot your phone. Oh, the phone just went sailing in the air.
But don't forget, and I don't know this for a fact, but, everybody has an upsell. So there's warranties, you're going to have to fix the glass. So this is a way to keep people coming back to Apple.
Okay. All right.
I know that I hate updating my phone every time because I promise you they're putting glitches in the thing. And then the phone just stops working.
Gotta fix those bugs.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to have to upgrade too because the new thing with my old phone.
Yeah, it just messes everything up.
Remember the video, speaking of cowboys, remember the cowboy shot his daughter's phone?
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
You know that dude?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Chicken tacos.
I don't know. There was this one time we were having chicken tacos. And
he's like, watch this. Yeah. Her laptop.
All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
You got your taco poll, Gary? That's coming at the end of the show?
I do.
Oh, no.
It's not as bad as I might have made it sound, but concerning.
All right, hold on. It's interesting. LifeLock, man. Equifax. Oh, we just talked about it, man. They have a breach. And some people are thinking, what should I do? Should we freeze my credit? Unfortunately, this step will not protect you against every identity fraud threat. Hackers got social security numbers, birth dates, driver's license, and they can commit crimes in your good name and hack in and steal from your 401k. That's the new world order, everyone. We're just talking about the technology. They're thieves. They're lazy. They're going to steal from you without ever leaving the house. They don't want to break glass or get bit by a dog. No, they'll do it from their own computer. And then who knows what country they're even in. It's time to get some protection. Let's go with LifeLock. I have it. Lynette has it. The kids have it. You have an identity. You must protect it. Protect it with LifeLock. They have a proprietary technology. It detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used. It's the best. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com and call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, what's the poll, Gary?
Oh, God.
I'll let Gina read it.
All right. It says, someone's going on a taco run. The options are chicken, steak, and pork, and you get to pick one. You say, get me a blank taco, 48% steak, 28% chicken, 24% pork.
Sounds about right.
You should feel good about that.
Yeah, you were right.
Steak number one at the other shop, but here too, except for Dylan. But they all had pork second, which is another interesting thing. You feel like pork would be a little exotic for some folks or something, and most people eat a lot. So here's where I'm coming down. I eat a ton more chicken than I do pork.
Right.
But in taco form, soft taco form, I have pork above chicken.
There you go.
That's my, that's where I come
down. You feel
good
about this, too, because obviously people who took this poll haven't heard the show.
Right.
So not being influenced by anyone's opinion.
I'm going on to vote right now.
And I love that the results look like a middle finger. So screw us.
Yeah, this is a country of privilege. We're having the steak.
Yep.
All right, let's bring it home, Gary. Let's see. We're going to be where? On the 12th over at the Oxnard Levity Live. That's November 12th. That's right. Sunday, man. November 12th, Oxnard, Levity Live. That's this Sunday. Doug Benson's going to be up on stage. Then on the 21st, we'll be in the Pasadena Ice House. Check that out. Me and Dennis Prager up on stage, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. That's November 29th. Go to Chassis and go check out Lynette over Corolla Drinks. She's doing great over there with the Endless Rant. Chad, the Chad Prather Show. Prather Show. Saying that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Good enough, man.
I've answered to so many things.
You go to Podcast One and check it out, and it starts November 16th. And also the website, politicalcowboy.com, is where you go. And until next time, Adam for Chad and Gina and Bald Sam. Mahalo.
Abuja.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Want to leave us a voicemail? You can. Maybe you should. Call 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the link at adamcarolla.com. Oxnard, Sunday, Doug Benson. Ice House, Pasadena, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, main great events, books, movies, and more at adamcarolla.com.